There were two things I would like to speak about for this sermon. The one is pertaining to the Chair of Unity, the Octave Prayers. And the second is the gospel that we just read today about the miracle of our Lord. So in order to combine these two, I'd like to start off by speaking about the miracles of Jesus. This was the first miracle, the first public miracle that Jesus worked, changing water into wine. And the beautiful thing about our Lord's miracles was that they were done publicly. They were witnessed by many, many people. Our Lord worked miracles to show who he was, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. And those miracles we often read in the gospel on Sundays. But how do I prove, in the year 2026, how do I prove that those miracles really took place? If someone were to challenge me and say, well, how do you know that really happened? That was a long time ago. Very, very simple. Number one, the miracles were public, and they were many. And when Jesus' apostles and disciples went out to preach about the miracles of Christ, they were talking to people who were contemporary with those events. Jesus cured this man who was born blind. Jesus cured lepers. Jesus cured crippled people. Jesus raised people from the dead. That's not something you could lie about or come up with a story. If we were just to imagine, hypothetically, someone were to claim that today, we'd say, where's the proof? Who saw this? Where's the evidence? Can we believe this? Well, in our Lord's time, those people were just as clever and wanting to know as we are today. But not only that, but we know that his apostles and disciples, in preaching the gospel, they had nothing to gain and everything to lose, and they shed their blood and testimony of the truth of what they were saying. But there's even further evidence. We've talked about this before. Every once in a while I'll bring this book out. The Works of Josephus. This is a secular book. These are the writers who wrote 1900 years ago. Josephus was a Jew, and during the destruction of Jerusalem, the Roman general Titus spared Josephus and said, I want you to write down everything as a history of the Jewish people. Josephus himself makes reference to Jesus, makes reference to his miracles, and he is not even a Christian. He's a Jew. I have excerpts from the Talmud. The Talmud is the traditions, the beliefs, the practices of the Jews, handed down for them for centuries. The Talmud has reference to Jesus. Unfortunately, very, very bad references. Very derogatory remarks about Jesus, because the Jews don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But they unknowingly, without even realizing it, they are bearing witness to Christ. And how is that? It's because they do not deny his miracles. In fact, they recognize that he actually did these things. His enemies, his bitter enemies, who don't believe in him, if they were trying their best to discredit him, if those miracles that Jesus worked never happened, they would have been the first to say, never did it. But they couldn't, because they were public miracles. As St. Pius X said, miracles, prophecies, are the surest signs of the divine origin of Christianity. Now, why do I say all this? It's because we start the prayers today for the conversion of unbelievers to the true faith. Last Sunday we talked about the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and we referenced about the commandments. There are 10 commandments, of course. And after the first three pertaining to God, the very next one, the fourth commandment, pertains to honor your father and mother. Why? Because God in his infinite wisdom knows this is the most important thing. After God, mom and dad, honor your father and mother. But today, I'd like to speak about the first three that pertain to God. They're there because God comes first. And of the first three, what is the first commandment? What's the most important one? I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Get it right. Worship the true God. But how do we know the true God? We know the true God because he has revealed to us divine revelation, telling us who he is and what our purpose is in life, why we're here. Divine revelation, the religion revealed by God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, before the coming of Jesus, God inspired the holy prophets to speak about this coming Messiah. Jesus fulfilled those prophecies perfectly. Perfectly. And he worked miracles to prove that he was this Messiah, the Son of God. This is the religion revealed by God. It's not for man to take or leave it. Say, yeah, it don't matter. You make up your own religion. Worship whatever you want. No. We worship God the way he has revealed to us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is really important because this is the issue. Why we are going to Mary Immaculate Church and 78th and Military. Why we're going to Latin Mass. What we're doing here is because with the coming of Vatican II, the church had been infiltrated by the enemies of the church to destroy the faith, to counterfeit things. We have, prior to Vatican II, 1962 to 1965, popes. Pope Pius IX condemned the idea that all religions are more or less good and praiseworthy. Condemned that. There's only one religion revealed by God. Pope Pius XI, or Talium Animos, forbid, said it's condemned, to worship with other religions. Why? Because it's a matter of the first commandment, not to have strange gods before me. And we need to be firmly rooted in that. That we worship the true God through Jesus Christ, who the Son of God, and we belong to his church. This past October, the Vatican celebrated 60 years of Vatican II. It's right on YouTube if you look it up. How did they begin this celebration? They had these Hindus, they were dressed, the men and women were dressed very immodestly, doing their Hindu procession into the hall with their noise and their symbols of their false gods. All the religions were recognized and represented this past October in the Vatican. Hello? Is there this thing called the First Commandment? Are there any more strange gods? Or did the modern so-called Catholic Church erase the First Commandment? Now there's only nine, because there's no false gods. No, that's false. Absolutely false. You know, it's interesting, I saw a recent dialogue of the late Francis I. He said, all religions are passed to God, just like we all have different languages. Well, these are all different languages of religion. And it's the same God for everybody. No, it's not. The Jews do not worship the true God. They worship false gods. The Buddhists don't even worship God. They don't even believe in God. And so the other religions of the world are man-made, not revealed by God. We have to be really clear about that. It's a matter of the first commandment. You know, we teach this to our high school students in class. We're recently talking about the Protestant Anglicans, the church that came from Henry VIII. In England, they have the Anglican Church. And Pope Leo XIII says they are not even true bishops or true priests. They altered the ordination rite, the consecration of bishop rite. They don't even have valid bishops and priests, the Anglican Church. Well, back in the 90s, the Anglicans needed to borrow the St. Cecilia's Cathedral. And they were allowed to. Come on in, consecrate your bishop, supposedly consecrate your bishop. You can use this supposed Catholic cathedral for your Anglican service. The true church would never allow that, ever. And it gets worse, as we've told you before. The new code of canon law, you can give communion to Protestants. You can give communion to schismatics. Forbidden. Absolutely forbidden. But I'm saying this because you've heard this before. It's not gray anymore. It's black and white, what's happened within the church. And that's the reason why we want to reiterate, God is revealed through Jesus Christ, the one true religion. Jesus Christ worked miracles, fulfilled the prophecies, to prove who he was. And we need to be strong in that. Second thing I'd like to talk about is the wedding feast of Cana. We read this in the Gospel. Jesus changed water into wine. But there's so much that God is trying to tell us in this Gospel. And one very, very strong message is this. The message is that our Blessed Mother has a powerful intercession with her Divine Son. The wedding, they ran out of wine. The Virgin Mary went to her Son and said, they have no wine. And Jesus said, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come. And she very confidently said to the attendants, do whatever he tells you. Everything in Scripture is there for a lesson, to teach us. This is the reason why we pray to the Virgin Mary that she may intercede with her Divine Son. Sometimes people say, no, Jesus was mad at her. He was mad and he called her woman. What is it to me and to thee, woman? My hour is not yet come. No. The term in Aramaic that Jesus used to address his mother would be something you would address to a queen. But not only that, but there's something more. By calling his mother woman, Jesus is telling us something. And for that, we go all the way to the first book of the Bible, book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve had fallen by eating of the forbidden fruit, God said this to Satan, I will put enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush your head. Who is this woman that's going to crush Satan's head? Who is this woman that's at enmity with Satan? That God establishes enmity. Jesus tells us, when he's about to work his first miracle, he addresses her as the woman. And that's the reason why when people say, why do you pray to Mary? We don't pray to her as if we're offending Jesus. No, we're asking her to pray for us, to Jesus, her Son. And John chapter 2 tells us just that. I know I've told you this story about a million times. I was on Southwest Airlines, sitting next to this Protestant and this Protestant young man and his mom, and he had a Bible as big as a phone book. And we got into it, and he said, what do you pray to Mary? I said, look up in your Bible, John chapter 2. And then I said, hey, read it out loud. You ever been on a plane and, you know, you get in a conversation like this, and I ask him, read it out loud? It got real quiet in that cabin. I'm like, yeah, I want to hear it too. And as he's reading it, I'm looking at his mom, and she's thinking, you idiot, you shouldn't have started talking with him. But he read the story of this wedding feast. And I said, what message is God telling us? He said that Jesus listens to his mother. Exactly. So if I ask you to pray for me and ask your mom to pray for me, nothing wrong with that, right? No. What's that wrong? I asked Jesus' mom to pray for me too. But it was wonderful because he could read it out of his own Bible. It's right there. You know, when we think of this Chair of Unity Octave, and we also think of the powerful intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, I'd like to conclude by saying all of us share in the mission of the Church. What's that mission of the Church? To convert the world to Christ, to the one true religion, to his one true Church. Jesus commanded his apostles, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. We all share in that mission in a different way, but you will preach, you will reach people I'll never reach. You'll encounter people I will never encounter. Let your light shine before men. Let you be a good example and convert the world to him, especially by your charity, by your kindness, by your honesty and goodness and justice. Pray for those who you encounter, maybe people at work, your neighbors, relatives that aren't of the true faith. Pray for them. Be a good example. And lastly, when they ask you a question, don't be afraid to answer it. And if you don't quite know the answer, just say, I'll get back with you on that. Then give me a call. Is this what we do? This is a part of our business, you know. Okay? We've been doing it for a long time. Our priests have been doing it a long time. There are very good pamphlets, books, booklets, and things that are really right to the point. But let's do it in a manner that's charitable. Not trying to like,
I taught you something. You're wrong, buddy.
No. That'll turn them up. We want to encourage them. You know, maybe some of these people, that's all they do. That's all they grew up with. We have to be patient with them. We have to be understanding. And we want to convert them. We want them to bring them to Jesus and his true Church. And let us do our best to do those three things. Pray for them, be a good example, and exhort them to the faith. And remember this. When people ask, what's the difference between the traditional church and this modern so-called Catholic church? It's a matter of the first commandment. They do not believe there are any more false gods in this world. They have erased the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.